This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Ashley, the big question on my mind is, how is the Holy Father doing? Was he able to actually speak this morning at the Wednesday General Audience?
Actually, this morning, the Holy Father said that he had, quote, a bit of a cold. And so instead, Father Pierluigi from the Vatican Secretariat of State actually read his remarks today. Although he did ride through St. Peter's Square in that open air Jeep today and waved and greeted folks. And in fact, he was welcomed by many signs that people were holding, wishing him an happy anniversary, as today is the 11th anniversary of his papal election.
Wow, that's a great anniversary for the Holy Father. You know, it seems to me like I can't remember, you know, back-to-back general audiences where he doesn't actually read his own message.
Yes, it's true. It is unusual. You can see that he is moving a bit slower right now at this point. And so he's calling on assistance, whether it's with a wheelchair or in this case to actually have a colleague read his remarks from the Secretariat of State. So yes, indeed, it seems like they are there to lend him a hand at this moment.
So what was the main message of Pope Francis this morning?
Well, John, you may recall that Pope has been speaking about vice for several weeks now, and now he has switched to virtue. He talked today about the realities of the human heart and that the heart can, of course, indulge evil passions. It can follow temptations. But he said that it's also possible to oppose all of this. And the way to do it is through virtue. And he looked to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and the definition of virtue as a habitual and firm disposition to do the good. And he clarified that this goodness can only come from what he called a slow maturation of the person. And with that slowness, it eventually becomes what he called an inner characteristic. And he noted that virtue is something, it's not improvised, it's not some random good, as he said, that falls from heaven sporadically. But instead, it's that firm disposition to do the good, remembering that the human being is actually made for goodness, and it's virtue that truly fulfills. He said that in order to continue down this path toward virtue, you have to first be aware of one's innate inclination to do what is good, and that's how you then move closer toward possessing certain permanent dispositions. He said the only way to do this, though, is to rediscover and practice virtue. He said, especially when you, in your daily life or on the news or in whatever way, come to terms with the worst of humanity. And he said that in a distorted world, you have to remember that the form in which you were shaped, he said, that form is the image of God. And that image is forever imprinted on the human person, he said. So how can one move towards virtue? He said, well, the first step is to call on God's grace. He said that the Holy Spirit acts in those who've been baptized. The Holy Spirit is working in one's soul, trying to lead everyone toward a virtuous life. And he reminded that grace actually precedes moral conviction. He even said that all criminals have also performed good deeds at one time. And he said, but remember, virtue is something else because it's a habit. He said, but it's a habit of freedom because it means being able in every act to choose the good freely, John.
Very a timely message for us here in the last few weeks of Lent by the Holy Father. And I couldn't help but notice some photos of some of the pilgrims there at St. Peter's with the big signs. Happy 11th mm-hmm. anniversary, Papa Francesco.
Yes, in fact, yes, people were there sending well wishes. And of course, he reacted with smiles and waves, etc. And at the end of the audience today, he spoke also about the horrors of war, which is a very, very common topic with which he finishes his audiences. He asked for prayers for all those who are suffering from what he called the terrible consequences of conflicts going on throughout the world. And he spoke specifically about a soldier, a young soldier who had been killed on the front lines, and he held the rosary of that young soldier, and he asked all to pray, especially that the Lord would grant the grace to overcome the madness of war, reminding with a phrase that he's used often, that war is always a defeat for everyone.
And so we continue to pray for peace in the world and unite our prayers to those of the Holy Father. Meanwhile, the Vatican is calling for a worldwide initiative, 24 hours for the Lord in Catholic churches.
Yes, in fact. So the Dicastery for Evangelization has released a pastoral resource. It's called 24 Hours for the Lord. And in fact, this year, just this past weekend, the Friday and Saturday before Laetare Sunday, this initiative took place in various churches, and they're asking more and more churches throughout the world now to use this resource and to implement this in their own churches. And Pope Francis also spoke specifically about confession in a recent homily, asking priests not to ask too many questions during confession. And it actually kind of brings to mind some funny stories that we see here in Rome. For example, you may know that Italians are sometimes known for their loquaciousness. And at Sunday Mass this past week, there was a man who got in line for confession, and he was the only person in line. He got in line at the confiture, and the person before him didn't exit until communion time. So this is not that uncommon here. So I'm sure he had that in mind when he spoke those words. And it's important that a penance service is part of this 24 hours for the Lord. And the hope now that after this event has occurred, that more and more churches around the world will pick up this resource and go ahead and implement it in their own churches, John.
Are they encouraging adoration? You know,
yes.
Eucharistic adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, is that the main focus?
Yes. So there's actually a dual focus, and it's adoration and confession. Those two things that, of course, go hand in hand, and it actually also really fits with the remarks from the papal audience today, this idea of calling upon God's grace, and that is the only way to create those habitual dispositions toward the good, to really authentically move towards a path of real virtue. And going to confession, receiving our Lord in the Eucharist, those are our ways to call on that grace. And of course, spending time in deep prayer in front of our Lord is a way to grow closer and closer to Him and learn what it means to live a virtuous life.
Now, this coming Saturday in Rome, Feast of St. Philip Neri is normally celebrated with a miracle. What's happening this year?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, John, this is a very special day here specifically in Rome. And on this one day of the year, the Massimo family, a noble family in Rome, opens the doors of their private home just for that one day. And it's to commemorate a miracle that involved a member of their lineage. His name was Prince Paolo Massimo. And the miracle occurred through the intercession of St. Philip Neri. And what happened back on the 16th of March of 1583 is that young Prince Paolo was ill, and it seemed as though his death was imminent. And so the servants were sent from the family home to run to get Father Philip Neri, who was young Paolo's spiritual director, this little 12-year-old boy. Now, when they got there, they found that Father Neri was celebrating the Holy Mass, so he was not able to come immediately. And when he did, young Paolo, Prince Paolo, had already passed. So the story goes that St. Philip went into the little boy's room, prayed over him, and he actually gasped and was revived. He came back to life. And it turns out that he told Father Philip Neri that that the young prince had a mortal sin on his soul. And so at that moment, St. Philip Neri heard the young prince's confession. And after that was finished, Philip Neri asked him if he would like to stay or if he would like to go back. And without a millisecond of hesitation, he said that he was ready to go. And so sure enough, he closed his eyes again and he passed, but this time without the stain of sin on his soul, without the stain of mortal sin, no less. And so indeed, in thanksgiving for that day, every year the family opens their doors so that hundreds of pilgrims can walk up the stairs of this private home into little Prince Paolo's bedroom, which has now become a chapel. And in fact, there's three altars inside of that chapel, and all day long, priests are celebrating masses on those altars in commemoration of this miracle on the 16th of March of 1583, John.
And to be clear, this is the anniversary of the miracle. The actual feast day of St. Philip Neri is coming up on May 26th, the patron of Rome.
Yes, he's so beloved in Rome. He is really one of the patrons of this city, and he is entombed here in Rome. He founded the oratory here, and he's really credited for coming into a Rome that was just in destitution after the great sack of Rome of 1527 and absolutely reviving it and revitalizing the quest and love for faith amongst the people.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.